Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Because we all make mistakes sometimes, and we all step across that line. But nothing's sweeter than the day we find, we find.
It's hanging over him like the clouds of Seattle. It raining on the swag.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. There's a new book out by Pope Francis called Sharing the Wisdom of Time that had some help from some local people here in Chicago. Joining us in studio is the president and publisher of Loyola Press, Joe Ellen Cicerelli. Thank you for coming in. And I'm sorry, there you go. I'm sorry, I had the wrong mic on. And our old friend, photographer Paul Audia. It's good to see you, man.
Thank you, good to see you guys,
I'd like to say world-renowned photographer Paul Audia.
Thank you very much.
I've known you forever, and I just found out your first name, I swear to God. I didn't know. Because you go by Audia everywhere in Chicago.
It's so much easier.
It is.
Yeah, because people remember it.
It's right. Really weird to call you Paul.
Like,
so when we were, you know, sort of planning this with, you know, I know you personally, and I call you Audia. Always have called you Audia. When I'm like referring to when I'm talking about Joelle, and I'm like, and then we'll have Paul. Like, who is Paul?
Well, Jane started telling me about this book, and number one, it's the Pope. Everybody loves the Pope. I don't care what religion you are. Everybody loves the Pope. But secondly, I'm like, how does it start? Does the Pope call you up, Audia, and say, you know, I got something for you? How does it work?
It was the closest thing to the Pope. Joe Allen called.
Yeah. Does the Pope call you up?
Well,
as a publisher?
And it's interesting. In 2015, we did a book with Pope Francis called Dear Pope Francis, where we gathered letters from little children around the world.
Right, I remember that.
And we had a friend, Antonio Spadaro, who's an advisor of Pope Francis, and he's the one who brought the letters to the kids. Well, years passed, and Pope Francis went to Antonio and said, you know, now I want to do a bookend. I want to hear from the older people of the world, and I want to hear their wisdom, not the questions. I want to hear their wisdom. So then Antonio contacted us and said, Pope Francis would like to do another book with you. So here we are.
So the Vatican calls you up.
Well, Antonio called us up. So,
but he's still there.
But he's still there.
It's like he's at the Vatican.
It's less than 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's very close to the Pope. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. So we accepted the offer.
So what I love about this is that I talk about this a lot with friends, is that I love the elderly because of the wisdom that they have, right? So I want to just sit them down, and I want to ask them all these questions. I had my sister-in-law's father live to like be 101, but when I would sit with him and talk to him, and not about adversity or in all this what's in the book, but just about historic mm-hmm. events, like he was talking about prohibition, and was telling me stories about being on a date, when we were in the Great Depression, like he was able to tell me what that time was like.
Right.
And then they learned from that. And that's, this book has different categories in all different areas of your life that triggers emotion. And tell us about the areas of what it's kind of broken into.
Sure. So when we started, we gathered these stories from hundreds of people, and we didn't have the categories laid out ahead of time. We just wanted to hear what they had to say.
Yeah.
And what mattered to them and what they wanted young people to know. And then we noticed that categories emerged as we started to read their stories. And so the categories are work, struggle, love, death, and hope. And they just emerge. I actually thought the love category were going to have the most boring stories, but they don't.
In the love category, I was bawling my face off.
Yeah.
Because you can feel it in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful
and
book.
I love that you end it with hope, because you've been through, you know, work and then struggle. And then even though love is some of its relationship, but then some of it is family and mentors mm-hmm. and things like that. And then death, like you're like, whoa, this is way too deep for me. And all of a sudden you get this glimmer of hope at the end of the book.
Yeah.
People's stories of hope. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful coffee table book.
Audia, you took the pictures in the book.
I was one of the photographers. I say, did I take the most?
You took, yeah, yeah. You're most represented for sure.
I mean, when you were taking these pictures, they're just, you can just see the joy and the love in these people's faces.
How
do you capture stuff like that?
You know, we talked about that right before we came in here, and you have a gift. It's nothing that I do really consciously. It just comes out. So I try to go into each one of them with a clean slate.
Okay.
No, the canvas is clean, even though I have a little bit of a glimpse of the story. So I would go in, and I just go into their homes or wherever I went, and half the time I don't speak their language or any part of their language. And I would sit there, and I just ask them questions. And we'd sit there and talk, and just before I took one photograph,
right,
I would sit there, talk, try to get as much information as I could out of them about who they are.
Okay.
And then these things happen in my head, and it just goes.
But the cool thing is that, you know, so last year you get the call, you're traveling Europe for a month. Like, tell us all the places you went to cover these individual features. What countries?
It started in the United States, and then from the United States, we went to England,
mm-hmm.
and then we went to Ireland, and then Malta, Sicily, Italy. Well, Sicily and Italy are the same, but it depends on who you're asking, you know, at that point. And Slovenia, Poland, back to Italy, Spain. And then back to the United States.
Did they let you take pictures of the Pope, or was that someone else? He's got his own people.
Antonio.
You know what? And this is something that I have never experienced, is how, you know, we know celebrities and people like that, but to see people emotionally charged for a Pope.
Right.
I've never seen that before. And we were in when they were asking the questions, and it was amazing, and people are just like,
well, yeah, enamored. God and his right-hand man is the Pope.
Exactly.
So, and
exactly.
He's here on earth.
But and these are the, when you went, so you did the book, and the book came out, and then you went to like a book launch with the Pope in Rome.
Right. So there was a synod on youth, and the Pope wanted the book launched because what he's really hoping to create is an alliance between young people and old people. Forget people my age. I'm in my 50s. He wants people in their 20s to be talking to their grandparents and to their elders.
Right.
So he thought this would be the perfect place to launch this book. So we asked three youth and from around the world, three elders, and they each asked the Pope a question, and then he responded, and then he presented all the people who were involved with a book at this event. So Martin Scorsese was one of the elders who asked the
was
Pope
he there?
A question. He was. He's a lovely guy, by the way.
Did you meet the Pope?
Yeah, I met the Pope, and we met the Pope, and we met Mr. Scorsese, too, because we had him come. He's in the book, too.
Yeah. He's on page 44, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a great story, too.
I didn't get a chance to photograph him. We tried, but he was out of the country. But I got to tell you, when we were there, so I got a chance to spend some time with him. Almost 20 minutes before everyone showed up in the back room.
This is Martin Scorsese.
Not the Pope.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pope and I were hanging out, sharing a cigarette.
I treat everybody kind of the same. And he was sitting on the couch by himself. His wife was there and some of the other, you know, his entourage. And we talked for maybe 20 minutes, and it wasn't anything, you know, you're saying like Bobby De Niro and Joe Pesci, you know, right. And I'm going, oh, yeah. But it was like I was one of the other guys, you know, and he's talking about different things. And Joe Ellen came over, and I see out of the corner of my eye, he's like talking to me, and I see the president of Loyola needs to talk to him, and I'm trying to back off a little bit, and he's still talking to me about cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
right,
Joe Ellen came over, and
then we had a conversation. I said, what are you doing tomorrow? And he said, I'm going to a university to talk to some kids. And I said, you are? He said, yeah, they're filmmakers. And he said, they just need love. He goes, they just need a little love. He goes, so I'm going to go give
Scorsese.
Him some love.
Scorsese. I mean, he's such a likable guy,
right?
Isn't he?
And the book is not, it's not all big celebrities like Martin Scorsese. It's like regular people. But quickly, I just want to read one line of what Martin says, is when you give everything to what you love, whether it's filmmaking or woodworking or cooking or pottery, you realize over time that there is no final destination. And you also come to realize that it's always the first time. There are no shortcuts. You acquire technical knowledge, skills, confidence, but every step is a first step into the unknown. And every shot is a test. And says, keeping the flame in your heart protected and alive, that is precious work. You never stop learning. I mean, you walk away from these short stories that these people tell you, and you're a better person. I mean, I would say read one story a day to change your mindset for that day. Because if you think you have problems, you're going to get a little bit of encouragement and inspiration from the people in this book, not just the Martin Scorsese's of the world.
You know, can I mention the Holocaust survivor?
Yes, absolutely.
He was in Cleveland. Erwin Froman, a very unassuming gentleman.
Page 64?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I read the book.
I just got the book. They just handed it to me. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. But
he was amazing in his own right. And not only did he have a storied past, his last moment of his father's remembrance was holding his hand.
Oh, is that why you took the picture of the hand here on this page?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's a wonderful picture.
And then his quote is, "I can still feel my father's hand leaving mine." And he never saw his father, mother, or sister again.
Never. He did see his sister. His sister made it. But if you fast forward a little bit, he ended up getting out of Auschwitz because he lied to him and told him he was a tailor. He got in, and they put him to another camp where he was sewing stuff and everything. And then... shortly after that, they liberated him. He had typhoid fever. He was sick. He was unconscious. And the last thing he remembers is two Red Cross nurses leaning over him saying, "We saved another one."
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean, you're tearing up over here.
He writes, "I speak to students in high schools and hope that my story will have meaning for them and they will learn from my experience and that we are all created equal. There should be no hatred. Will that happen? I hope it does." I mean, this is like his words that are written in this book.
Well, it's interesting. You brought it up earlier and you want to bridge the gap between the young people and the elders. That's why you have these stories about elders. But when you're young, you don't really care. And that's the thing. You appreciate it later in life, especially when you have kids and family and you get married.
Right.
But in your 20s, you don't have no worries.
Yeah, you're not paying attention, right? You're really worried about forwarding your own life and getting your own stuff together. But I think what young people have realized, because we had every chapter ends with the story of a young person who was inspired by an elder.
Yeah, right. There's a 28-year-old in the end.
And so if the kids can stop and just get to know their grandparents, their lives are going to be more full and they're going to help them lead the way.
You can volunteer at a senior center.
Right.
Yeah.
The book is called Sharing the Wisdom of Time. In studio with us is Jo Ellen Ciccarelli, the president and publisher of Loyola Press, and our friend photographer Paul Audia. Take a quick break and we'll talk some more coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Manzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us, the book is called Sharing the Wisdom of Time. It's a book written by Pope Francis, Jo Ellen Ciccarelli, the president and publisher of Loyola Press, and photographer Paul Audia. These stories in here are so inspirational. Jane can't say enough about them. She's talking off the air. I'm like, Jane, save it for the radio. Can you say what you just said?
So I said the book is beautiful. So you look at a hardcover book and you look at all the photography and you think, oh, that's a coffee table book. But a lot of times when you put a coffee table book on the coffee table, people pick it up. You have all these holidays with people coming over. You pick it up. There's short little stories that these people have shared about their life and what they've learned in one of these categories, whether it be struggle, love, death, hope, whatever. But it's just, they're digestible, they're easy to read, and then you walk away and you learn something. I know that, like, so I always think, oh, I'm having a bad morning. You know what? No, you're not. So I read, I read four of these stories that I picked out were actually the ones we spoke about because they resonated with me.
Right.
They left me with something to carry throughout my day.
Joan Lawson, a retired nurse from Chicago, great story about racism and...
Amazing.
Yep.
She raised herself, basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was a latchkey kid, went to the library, started reading nursing books, and boom.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep, and, the teacher, when she was in nursing school, told her that, I'm sorry, you're not going to get the grades you deserve because of your race. And then,
isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yes, that
it is.
Someone could say that.
And then she was going to leave. She's like, well, I'm done. I'm not going to go to nurse's training. And it was her grandfather or uncle?
Yeah, it was her uncle. Yeah, it was... an elder relative who said, hey, that might be the case, but don't stop.
Yeah,
show
said,
them.
Can you get through this school with C's?
Yeah.
And she was like, no. And he's like, can you get through it with C's? And she did. And she went on to get her master's and she graduated top of her class.
Right.
Yeah.
She said, all of a sudden, I got really smart.
Inspirational stories. Feel good stories, really.
There's another good one from the woman in Slovenia. Her name is Berta. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is it was a love story. And there's so many people that are dysfunctional, have problems in life, and particularly younger kids in school. So what she did, she actually felt that these children needed love and respect. And these are troubled kids, right?
Right.
And so her thing was to give them that love and respect. Now, she still gave them guidelines, but with that love and respect, these people have turned into some amazing persons. I saw a thing on 60 Minutes last night with a guy named Ryan Speedo Green. You ever heard of him? He's the opera singer.
No, mm-hmm. But I am going to watch 60 Minutes. I have it on DVR. I was working last night.
Yeah. One woman, and it takes one person. And all of these people have this resonation of this story. One person in their lives took time to make them feel better, to make them believe in themselves.
Right.
And that's kind of, the whole book is kind of like that. Horrific, horrendous stories to love.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One person. So my gift is one person at a time.
You know, that's so true because we live in a society today, everybody seems so angry, or one thing's going to set us off and then we're going to be angry. A book like this, Sharing the Wisdom of Time by Pope Francis, gives us inspiration and it makes us think that, you know, we're all brothers and sisters,
right.
man.
Yeah,
why
right.
are we so angry? We should just love each other.
Yeah. How did you find, did the people come to you or did, how did you find?
You know, it's interesting. With the book for kids, kids are easy to find. They're in school.
Right.
You know, we can find schools. Finding elders was a bit of a trick because they're hidden from society a lot. They're not necessarily easy to find. So we called on friends. We called on Jesuits we knew all over the world because Jesuits are all over the world. We worked with a group called Unbound out of Kansas City. They're a not-for-profit that sponsors elders and children. And we asked them for their help. And we kind of canvassed the world all at the same time, collected the stories. But then I was telling Paul this morning, the story might have been in Swahili. So then it has to go into English, but wait, it's the Pope. It has to go into Spanish and Italian,
right.
too. So we had to translate all of the stories from their native languages into ours and his.
Both. In every language.
Every language.
So you have it written in nine, the book is written in nine languages?
Oh, now it's being published in nine different languages, and more are being added all the time. But the original 200 stories all had to go into basically three or four, and then we presented those to him, and he responded that way. So it was not easy. And I've been in publishing a long time. This is the most complicated book I've ever worked on. Thanks, Pope Francis.
I'm assuming you're going to give us his phone number before you leave.
The Pope. Do not give Pete the Pope's number. He will text him
every
day.
I will text the Pope immediately when you walk out. So it's available everywhere. I checked on Amazon a few minutes ago. It's there. But if they go to sharingwisdomoftime.com or loyalapress.com and type in code 5021, they get 25% off. Is that right?
Yep.
That's great. Yep. You did that just for us?
And then, through January 1st through New Year's Day.
LoyolaPress.com or sharingwisdomoftime.com. Enter code 5021 for WGN listeners, 25% off.
I think it's a great gift.
Yeah. Wow.
It's really what I think. When I read it, I'm like, wow, I'd love to give this to people.
This is going to my mother.
Yes.
She's
going to
love it.
Oh, she will love
it. She's going to love it.
Can I sign it?
Yes,
can
you can
I
know
it
your
mom?
Mother. Yes, you've met my mother. That's right.
Can I give it to your mom?
No. Audia, thanks for coming in. Always great to see
you.
Joelle, Ellen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for sharing
the
story.
Great.
It's good to see you guys.
I mean, we could talk about this book for the next 3 hours, but
right.
I will be. Thanks.
Yeah. Coming up next, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.